last few weeks, we on and off we talked about karma, right? And today I want to talk about luck, fate, and destiny. That's our topic for today. But in order to talk about that, luck, fate, and destiny, we have to really understand what karma is, and not only its definition, but its characteristic manifestation, so on and so forth. And the reason being that luck, fate, and destiny are basically a karmic phenomena. You know, they are the manifestation of karma. That's all they are. And I'll explain how and why not. So I'll briefly go through what we talked about regarding karma and then move on to the topic, today's topic, which is luck, fate, and destiny. So last few weeks we talked about karma simply being a mental action, if you recall. Karma is nothing but an action, a mental action, but not just any mental action. It's a willful action. That's very important to understand that. It's a volitional action, not just any action. And then we looked at karma at different levels. We looked at karma at the seed level of potentiality.
Is that kind of the same as an intention, or is there more action involved in volition?
Sure. So if you could hang on to that question, that's a great question, and we will answer those, all the questions at the end of the discourse. But yeah, so when the questions like that arise, please keep them in your wisdom basket, what they call it, parking lot, right? Park it in the parking lot, and then we will address them at the end. So will, volition, it's slightly different than intention, and I'll explain what is the difference. So a willful action is karma. And then the accumulation of willful actions or volitional actions is called stored karma or past karma. And the difference between the three, the seed, the karma, and the stored karma, is simply in their potency of creating a manifestation. The seed is not as strong as the stored karma or the karma itself, right? The seed has less strength in giving a manifestation versus a bundle of karma, which is volitional formation. So that's one thing. And the second is, all these three varieties of karma give rise to something which is called karmic force, or you can simply call it a mental force. So now if you notice, we are looking at karma at different from different perspectives. We are looking at karma as an action, we are looking at karma as a formation, we are looking at karma as a force. And it's very important to look at it that way if you are interested in the mechanics of karma. It gets more scientific, ontological, but just remember that karma has to be looked at the level of action, at the level of formation, and at the level of force. And it will come handy in future when we go deeper into it. But the point is that it is that karmic force which generates luck. I like to use the word chance instead of luck, you know, which generates fate and destiny. For example, if we do wholesome actions, right? Actions that are rooted in loving kindness, compassion, in generosity, in wisdom, right? If we do those actions, what are the results of those actions? Happiness and peace, right? Remember we talked about laws of karma also? The first law of karma? What you sow shall you reap, right? What goes around?
Comes around.
That was the first law of karma. If we perform wholesome actions, we generate a wholesome force which manifests as good fortune. Yeah? Very simple. Which manifests as a higher probability of happiness and peace. Right? If we generate unwholesome actions, or if we perform unwholesome deeds, which is deeds or actions that are rooted in greed, that are rooted in hatred, that are rooted in delusion, or any deeds, actions that are rooted in craving or aversion, will generate a particular kind of mental force, a karmic force, which will give rise to misfortune or bad fortune, ill fate, whatever you want to call it, right? So that's very important to understand that these things are primarily the manifestation of karma. You know, why it is important? Because when we have talked about karma being a fluid phenomenon, it's not a fixed phenomenon, it's a fluid phenomenon, right? If we change from unwholesome to wholesome, your force will change, right? So because karma is fluid, these things are also fluid. There's no such thing as fixed destiny. There's no such thing as established fate. It's fluid, it can be modified, changed. Because it's nothing else but the fruit of karma. That's all it is, you know? And unless we go beyond that mindset where we keep thinking that, oh, my destiny is fixed, you know, this is my fate, I'm unlucky, you see? We have to go beyond that mindset. And to go beyond that mindset, we have to understand how really karma functions, how it develops into a force, and how that force manifests. So, and it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to go beyond that deterministic thinking. Even Einstein fell prey to that, right? Mm-hmm. Einstein thought that the world, the universe, works on a clock, you know? He was a deterministic thinker. That's why he said, you know, God does not throw dice. You remember that famous statement, mm-hmm. right? That's being deterministic. Although there was clear evidence because of quantum mechanics, the development of quantum mechanics, the probability of occurrence or the probabilistic nature of things. There was very clear, obvious evidence. Still, he wasn't ready to accept it. In fact, Einstein changed his theory of relativity to remove probability from his equations, you remember. He literally changed his theory because he just did not like the idea of chance or probability or, you know. But when Niels Bohr, he's a quantum mechanics theoretical physicist, he said, he told Einstein, don't tell God what to do. if you heard that. Niels Bohr said, don't tell God what to do. But Einstein, as we all know, a great man, you know, he accepted his mistake. Finally, and he said, what did he say? He said, I have earned the right to be wrong. Yeah? That's great, Einstein. But anyways, this is all about probability of occurrence, you know? Chance, what is chance or luck? It means a very low probability of occurrence. very high probability of occurrence? Fate. Even higher probability of occurrence? Destiny. What is the probability of the occurrence of death?
It's your destiny,
100%. 100%.
That's how old you are. Simply because our children may actually live to be many thousands of years.
Very good, very good.
Current.
Sure.
Current medicine.
Let's put that also in the parking lot. Very important to understand, because that's what will really get us out of the deterministic mindset. Even death may not be deterministic. We can change our destiny, guys. The laws of karma, the karmic mechanics is telling us that we can literally change our destiny. And the scientific proofs are arising now, you know. Quantum mechanics, you know. In fact, from the perspective of quantum mechanics, there is a slight chance that art will turn into pink jello next moment. Literally, the quantum mechanics can prove that that can happen. All right, but the likelihood of that happening is very, very slim. You see, that's all. That's all I'm saying. So
I'd like it to happen and keep my mouth so I can eat.
Huh?
So I can eat pink jello.
Sure. I think the point is, this is about probability. Just, and the whole idea is how we can increase the probability of good fortune. How we can increase the probability of a happier, peaceful destiny by working on our karma. Right? If you want good fortune, you do good stuff. Very simple, you know. But not as a matter of morality or because it's written in some book, but as a matter of understanding, quote unquote, as a matter of wisdom. That this is indeed, you know, what the nature, how the nature works. So, okay, so that's one thing. So, we haven't talked about luck. The way I look at luck is, I personally don't like the word luck, you know, because everything is cause and effect, you know. Some of you may not like that word cause and effect. Look at it as conditionality, okay? Everything is driven by conditionality, if you don't like the word cause and effect, like the scientists do, right? Conditionality, as a matter of phenomenology, that this is a condition, karma, that leads to another condition, fate, destiny. Simple. Conditionality. And the interdependence of that conditionality. You see? Cause is not independent of effect. Effect is not independent of cause. Or throwing out the word cause and effect. Conditionality and interdependence. That's all there is. That's how the universe functions. That's the hypothesis that's what I'm proposing. You have to, through experience, understand that. And so, the difference between chance and luck is, and this I read somewhere on the internet, and the author was saying, chance taken personally is luck. When you take probability personally, you're calling it luck. Yeah. That's all the difference between chance and luck is. We just take things personally. You see? And that's what happens when we overreach. You know? We understand all this, right? Karma and its fruit, right? What goes around comes around. And then we also talked about the cyclic nature of karma and the cumulative nature of karma. The second law of karma we talked about in one of the gatherings. But what we do is if we are not wise enough, skillful enough, we overreach and we say, it's my karma, you see? Bang, that's where the problem starts, you know? It's my fate, my destiny, you know? It's like overreaching. When you overreach the probability, you say, bad luck, I'm unlucky, you see? Just look at it as an occurrence, a probabilistic occurrence. When you say, oh, I'm unlucky, what you're doing is you're overreaching and owning, quote unquote. You're owning karma. You're owning the fruit of karma. Oh, I'm unfortunate. You're owning the manifestation of karma. There were unwholesome deeds that gave rise to unwholesome fruit. That's all happened. When you say, oh, I'm so unfortunate, my destiny is poor, right? You're simply overreaching and owning the karma. Karma doesn't belong to anybody. The point is, there is chance, there is fate, there is destiny, but there's no owner of it. That's the very subtle thing to understand. That destiny exists, but no owner of it. And that's precisely today why I wanted you to at least experiment with the breath and to experientially understand that you really don't own the breath. Would it be an accurate statement if I were to say that today you experientially understood that you don't own the breath? Anybody would agree with that? Right? Experiential. There's no argument about it. And guess what? Every one of you had the same experience. Obvious, otherwise you would have fallen dead. There was something else that was overriding your command, wanted to breathe and survive. Right? So there was not only an experience, but it was also universal. Each one of you experienced it the same way. So what is experiential, what is universal, is real. And the reality is that we don't own anything. At least breath for now should be your wisdom, and then through various meditations you can experientially understand it. And you don't own the mind, consciousness, not karma. Why it is so important to understand that we don't own anything is because that delusion that we are the owners is what causes suffering. You know? This life we experience is really the manifestation of karma. Really, that's what it is. Or you can call this life as a karmic drama. Really. When we own it out of ego, we get stuck in it playing a lead role. You see? Out of delusion, out of ego, we get stuck in this karmic drama, thinking it's my life, it's my karma. You know? As long as we are stuck in that karmic drama playing a lead role, we are going to suffer, you know. So the idea is through understanding, experiential understanding, one by one, disowning everything, including karma. When we do that, then we are freed from the drama, you know. We are freed from the drama, and then what really begins. So the drama ends, and what begins is real life. The real life, which is happy, abiding, and bliss.